These days, we're all looking out for each other, checking in, dialing in, staying in. And at mymilkman.ie, while you look out for each other, we're looking out for you and your family. Because at mymilkman.ie, we can safely deliver your everyday essentials from fresh Avonmore milk, butter and eggs to orange juice, smoothies and more, direct to your door up to 3 times a week. We are mymilkman.ie. We are local and nationwide. We always deliver fresh milk and more on your doorstep. Sign up, order and pay online at mymilkman.ie.
And now in Arena, we continue with our series, Where Do I Start With?, where we suggest how you might get to know the work of an iconic artist whose work you may be a little familiar with, but you would like to get to know better. Tonight, we feature a man whose career was launched 50 years ago, who has produced some of the greatest pop songs of all time, but who in recent years has possibly become better known for his public outbursts than his musicianship. So to answer, where do we start with Elton John, and to have a look at the songs and albums that made the young Reginald Kenneth Dwight one of the most famous pop stars on the planet, I'm joined now by Chris Wasser. Is it the sad reality that he's almost become, Chris, in recent times, like his own tribute act more than anything else, and it's what he says more than his songs that we're looking out for now, what he says, the outbursts, as I call them?
Well, that may be true, Sean. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking that maybe I'm just hanging around with the wrong people. But there is, and I've come across it, there is this misconception that Elton John, who, you know, as you said at the top, he launched his career 50 years ago to the day, and he almost to the day, sorry. And he did in some ways change the face of pop music. There is this misconception that these days he is known more for being that, you know, never ending traveling greatest hit show. He's supposed to be out on the road at the moment with his farewell tour. And this for him, as he wrote about in his memoir last year, Me, he says that this is definitely his last, trip around the world. He will perform concerts again, but not on a global scale. But he's known for being that traveling greatest hit show because he's been on the road for most of his career, and he's also known for, you know, this unintentionally funny Uncle Elton persona. And it's only unintentionally funny because, you know, he has a reputation for looking out for other artists and peers of his who've had trouble with, you know, in their careers, whether it's, you know, addiction issues or, you know, albums not selling the way they used to. He looks out for a lot of his musicians that he's worked with, and some that he hasn't, because he's been through troubles himself. And then there's, you know, the public outburst, the shopping sprees, the Dwight family temper, as he refers to it himself. He is known for, you know, saying things that, you know, he probably shouldn't in the press. But for me, it's a shame that all of that seems to come first nowadays, because if you look, as we will do in a moment, at some of the albums that he produced in the early 70s and some, you know, in the late 80s as well, it's an astonishing catalogue, and it's astonishing collection of songs.
Let Elton John do what he does best, which is sing and play. And this is from the first album that you've chosen. We'll come back as to why you've chosen this afterward.
If I was a sculptor, but then again, no, or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you.
You know, it's all very well to say he's a travelling greatest hits factory. Of course he's a travelling greatest hits factory, because he has songs like that to travel with. I mean, you just listen to that. It's extraordinary. That's your song from, which is where you're starting with Elton John, Chris Wasser. His double album, it was a self-titled double album, wasn't it? Elton John.
Yes, no, it wasn't a double album, but it was his first major LP, a single album in the US. Not his first album as some people have mistaken. He did release the year before that a record called Empty Sky, which wasn't released in America. The response to Empty Sky wasn't great. It was the first collection of songs put down on an album, I suppose, that were written by Bernie Taupin, who was Elton John's longstanding collaborator. Bernie takes care of the lyrics, Elton John takes care of the music. There wasn't wasn't, you know, the two of them, well, Elton Bernie would go everywhere with Elton, but Elton and his band, guitarist Davy Johnson and the rest of the boys, they got a few gigs out of it. They started to make some noise in some of the music publications, but, you know, it wasn't enough to launch a career. But still, the songs that Elton had in the bag for what would become the Elton John self-titled LP impressed Dick James at DGM Records, where Bernie and Elton were hired to write songs for other artists. They impressed him so much that he gave them £6,000, a huge amount at the time for, you know, this 22-year-old and 21-year-old artist to go off and make an album. But the story goes that Dick James actually said, go and make an album with these songs, with sort of the purpose of advertising it to other artists, because he knew songs like, you know, Take Me to the Pilot, or Your Song, or Border, you know, these were great songs that he could probably hear from some of the other artists on DGM Records. So the guys go off with Gus Dudgeon, the producer who had worked with Bowie before them, and they make this album, and they just have a magical time, and that's how Elton John continues to refer to it, as a magical time, because there was no real pressure. You know, everyone was still on the right side of the rock and roll circuit. You know, nobody had yet to indulge in some of the extracurricular activities that would come along afterwards, and there was just this sense of harmony and of just creating music for the sake of creating music.
And wasn't it
maybe
in, wasn't it in Rocket Man, in the recent film, I think this is the apocryphal story at any rate, that song was written at home in his mother's house, Your Song that we just heard.
It was written at home in Frome Court in his mother's house. Bernie had written the lyrics, and that scene in Rocket Man that you're referring to, Elton himself writes about this in his memoir with Alex Petridis, his ghostwriter in the memoir. He writes that, you know, this is how it happened. We were sitting around the breakfast table. Bernie was eating a toast and jam and a cup of tea, and he wrote the lyrics for Your Song, which, as you know, is this sort of innocent confession to another person to say, I love you. I'm not really sure how to say that, but I'll try to put it down in these words. Elton then takes the lyrics and comes up with the melody in 15 minutes at the piano. And I think when Dick James at DGM Records, when he heard this, he thought, that's a hit. And the story goes that when the album was finished, that gig in the Troubadour, when Elton went out and played that first gig in Los Angeles in the Troubadour, it was just lapped up. I mean, everybody knew it except for Elton, because Elton John had always wanted to be an album artist. He never wanted to be this major rock and roll or pop star. He never wanted to be a singles guy. You know, he never thought, I'm going to have at least a dozen greatest hits packages at some time in my career. He just wanted to make albums. So no one was more surprised than he was when Your Song took off.
All right. So your first album then, and particularly the song, Your Song, off Elton John, the album, the second album from Elton John. Let's move on to your second choice, and you'd send us to this song and this album. You can't plant me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow. Back to howling old owls. Hunting a horn in my toe. Oh, I found the side of my future life. Then he does it again with Yellow Brick Road. That was the double album. I got myself mixed up.
Yeah.
Yellow Brick Road was the double album and came in October 73. Was that the follow-up to the preview? Did it come immediately after? Was there something in between the two?
It did not. There were quite a few albums between the original Elton John LP and Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I mean, Elton John and Bernie somehow managed to knock out a country and western album along the way. And we all also had a Honky Chateau. And eventually we get to this double album, which was never supposed to be a double album. But that just goes to show you how prolific Bernie and Elton were at the time. I mean, this album has Candle in the Wind on it, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. There's enough singles. There are enough hits on this album that they could have even split them up if they wanted to and released one the following year. But when you get to this stage of Elton John's career, the first album that we discussed, that was Elton and Bernie making a record that they wanted to sound like something by Van Morrison or something by John Lennon, even Donovan. When we get to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the game has changed. The boys have started to make serious money. They are continuously on tour. Elton has discovered that, you know, the second most important thing in his life is our clothes, his fashion. You know, the on-stage outfits become that little bit more flamboyant and theatrical. And there's a theatricality then throughout the songwriting. I mean, Bernie is still writing these small cinematic kind of, you know, personal poems, but Elton John is keen to kind of make the music bigger. And part of the reason why that album sounds so, you know, theatrical and cinematic as well is also to do with the recording, because the lads went to Paris. They recorded it in the Chateau Aéroville, which was said to have been haunted. They had a fabulous time making this album, and also the lyrical themes that Bernie was going through. He was writing about Marilyn Monroe, or Norma Jean, as he puts it, on Candle in the Wind. He had always had this desire to write, you know, an American rock and roll song set in Britain, and that's where he gets Saturday Night All Right for Fighting. And he always wanted to write a song about one of the first films that left a mark on him as a kid, which is The Wizard of Oz, and to somehow tie that into how he was feeling at that time, which is that he wanted to go home.
Extraordinary lyric, yeah, it really is. Now, things went a bit awry, which is kind of explains the gap between Goodbye Yellow Brick Road and the third choice, the final choice that you have for us. Did things just go wrong between the two, between Bernie Taupin and Elton John, or was it just a substances that became the problem in the late 70s?
Well, it's strange because substances did become a problem very quickly for Elton John, but the guys knocked out about 8 or 9 quality albums up until around 1975, where they were just producing hit after hit. And at one stage, Elton John records were outselling every other artist in the US Billboard Top 10 combined, which is just extraordinary. But they were never home, and Elton John really didn't have a home base. So at one stage, you know, Bernie Taupin, he's married at this stage, he just wanted to take a break, and he wanted to, you know, just step off the carousel and have an ordinary life for a while, or at least see if he could. So Elton continues making records without Bernie. It's not a good idea. And over the next few years, we get some very dodgy albums. You know, I've looked at some of the I've listened to all of the albums between then and this one that we're going to talk about, Too Low for Zero, and there's very few hits in there.
Right. But
in
well, let's go to Too Low for Zero, Too Low for Zero in 1983, and because I want to finish up by playing a bit of I'm Still Standing, and the difference in the how these lyrics are interpreted by Elton John and Bernie Taupin. They interpret these lyrics quite differently, Chris?
I apologise, Sean. I thought you were going to play the song.
No,
it is strange that I'm Still Standing is kind of perceived, and certainly last year's Rocketman film showed it, that it was almost like Elton John making this comeback, and he was coming away from the substance abuse, and he was going to show people that, you know, he could still do it without all of the madness of the 70s. But the truth is, Elton was still at the height of all that madness when he you know, delivered this song with Bernie. Mm. Bernie says that it's a song about, you know, a bad breakup. In terms of what Elton is thinking is that, look, you know, we had all of our fun at the beginning of the 70s, but I want to show people that despite the you know, the changing trends in the charts, and despite the fact that more people are listening to, you know, synthesizers and electronic music, I'm still here, and I'm going to prove it with this hit melody and song, and also with some of the other brilliant material on the album Too Low for Zero.
I'm Still Standing from Elton John and the 1983 album Too Low for Zero, the final choice from Chris Wossert of how you might start with Elton John. Start with the Elton John LP, self-titled, 1970. Move on to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road from 3 years later, and then finish up with Too Low for Zero. That is our lot for this evening.